This is a scoop interview with José Luis Robina García, who is the first Cuban ambassador to New Zealand, and in fact, first Cuban ambassador to Australasia. He's come here from a stint back in Cuba, where he's been working as the dean of a diplomatic school, or a teaching him.
The director of the Cuban Center for Asian Oceania Studies.
So the Cuban Center for Australian and
Asian and Oceanic Academic Studies.
Prior to that, he was a senior diplomat in China for several years. And his presence in New Zealand is a recognition that Cuba is expanding its diplomacy to include New Zealand and Australia in particular. We're going to talk about a wide range of subjects, and the first subject to come up will be the signing this morning in New Zealand time, yesterday, presumably in America, of two treaties, a cultural, social and economic rights treaty and the agreement on political and civil rights. And this is an important step for Cuba in terms of normalising its relationships with the rest of the world. Could you tell us a little bit about that, perhaps?
Our Minister of Foreign Affairs, Felipe Perez Roque, signed in United Nations today these two international pacts about the economic, social and cultural right, and another one to civil and political right. This is a really very important document. It's very important compromise. Why we sign now? The last year, one instrument, the relator, that under American pressure, in United Nations have to monitoring the so-called Cuban violation of human rights is cancelled. Was cancelled.
So the monitoring of human rights in Cuba by the General Assembly was cancelled?
Was cancelled. Why? Because the majority of the country on the world consider that Cuba don't have any special massive and flagrant problem of violation of human rights. So after this decision, Cuban situation is totally normal like other countries in the world. So we came, because this is our sovereign decision, to sign this and make this a serious compromise. Under this compromise, we are ready to accept, to discuss with every country in the world human rights question, in Cuba and in other parts of the world, not only in Cuba, of course, because why only Cuba and no America? So we are totally ready to this, and we are totally to accept foreign institution, United Nations institution of monitoring. It's like other countries in the world, right? It's normal. Mm-hmm. This expresses our sovereign decision to talk about this in Cuba and in other parts of the world, especially in United States, where all the people know is the first violator of human rights in the world. In Iraq, in Afghanistan, in Vietnam, in Korea, in many other parts of the world, in Guantanamo Bay. So if some people like to talk about human rights, okay, welcome.
So you're going to...
But not selective.
So you're going to take a debate about human rights to
America? We came to take we came to talk about human rights like any other part in the world. Because we are not any hell. We are a normal country. We can it's totally open. We receive every year 2 million of foreign tourists that can look about Cuba reality. Cuba is not a paradise, but it's not, of course, Abu Dhabi prison or Guantanamo American base. Mm. It's a normal country. So we signed this. And we will respect this compromise, and we expect that America respect this compromise too in the deal with foreign prisoners in Guantanamo, Iraqi people in prison, and this kind of thing. Not only Cuba we respect, all the people need to respect this.
Okay. Now another obviously dramatic development recently in Cuba has been the appointment of Raul Castro, Fidel's younger brother, as the chairman or as the
president of the country.
President of the country, and this was he was appointed by the newly elected assembly of deputies, which had an election on January the 20th, is that correct?
24th.
And that election, I think you were saying that there has been a bit of a changing of guard in terms of who is on that assembly. There's more younger people that there's now a majority of people who have not, who were not present in the revolution. Is that correct? I mean, is that
this process after the last year, Fidel sickness, he gave temporary the power to the Raul, and begin this process under a stability situation in Cuba. So Fidel, few days ago, said, and for him it's totally impossible to accept a new role like this official because of health problem. So Raul,
it was impossible for Fidel to accept the role of president.
He said this is impossible for her reason. Raul is not the brother only. Raul, from the first moment, is under Fidel leadership in our revolution process. From Moncada, for Granma, for guerrilla time, from the first moment in 1989, he was Minister of Defense. So Raul is the second man, always.
From all 1949, presumably.
All the people know this. It's not any secret. And it's not because he's the brother. It's because he's one of the most important historical leaders of Cuba. So now many people talk about transition. Transition in Cuba begin in 1959 when Cuban revolution victory. In this moment Cuban history begin to change. And this transition begin in this moment. Now is a continuation of this revolution under a new leadership and under the leadership, of course, of Fidel too. Because Fidel now maybe don't have help for many official activity, protocol, and that, but all we know that Fidel thinking, now is very good like the past. So Cuban revolution will continue Fidel path. When some people talk about change, it must be clear, we don't like become American province. We don't like American annexion. Nobody like. In this aspect, all the people most clear. Nobody is Raul or another leader. The Cuban people cannot accept a change in the direction of Cuban revolution, our system. Nobody will accept this. In Cuba, Cuba, because geographical situation, very near to the United States, is different to New Zealand. It's only 90 mil. It's very near. For more than 200 years, Americans have the obsession to control, to make an annexion, to make Cuba a protectorate like other countries, in Puerto Rico, Hawaii, that. For more than 100 years, Cuban people fight against this. In this aspect, annexion, our common will is no way.
And this is the origin, this is why you are effectively on a military footing in the sense that you have a one-party state.
And because this reality, a special reality of Cuba, totally different to other countries in the world, especially, for example, New Zealand so far, we have some, our political electoral system is, according to Cuban characteristics, because this we have only one party, we cannot have more than one party, because we need unity of the people against American voracity. America have more than 100 military intervention the last century in Latin America.
Do you imagine that there might be a time when you could come to peace with America and America might accept Cuba's existence? And
Raul, maybe more than 3 or 4 times in the last 12 months, he talked publicly that we are ready to talk. We are open to talk, like in the past. The problem is that they must understand, accept, that they need to talk with one independent country. And Cuban independence is not in the table.
It's not on the table for America.
It's not in the table for any negotiation.
But I mean, they want it on the table, do they? I mean,
if they don't change,
America's official policy is that Cuba should somehow relent and allow America.
Of course. In this case, no way. Now some American presidential candidates saying to talk to Cuba, to talk to that. Bush said today that it's not possible to talk with Raul Castro. Who like to talk with Mr. Bush? Nobody in the world like to talk with him. Nobody, not only Cuba. This is a crazy monster. So, nothing. America need to accept the reality that Cuba is so sovereign, an independent country like France, New Zealand, and other parts of the world. If then can accept, okay, we can live another 100 years without American. The question for Cuba is totally different to other countries, annexion or independence. American like protectorate, American like Cuban puppet. Cuban annexion in one way or another way. A Bush plan about Cuba, more than 500 pages, is in this direction. Of course, this kind of negotiation is impossible.
Will Raul's becoming the president, will that make any changes, do you think?
From 1959, Cuba began to change many aspects. Our mortality, infant mortality right now is 5.3. Before revolution, is more than 60. So this is a change. Our health system, so good, free.
But what I'm really asking is, will there be any change as a result of the recent?
No, I talk from the first moment begin to change, and now we continue to this change. Of course, we know very well, better than foreign people, our shortcoming, our problem. And we need to improve this situation. Some of this problem is our problem, internal problem. Ours have many historical rot. But very important factor is American blockade. American blockade is economic, financial, trade. Political, of course, aggression, military aggression. It is not a small thing. It's not a small thing. American, for example, don't give to us nothing. In credit, in nothing. So American blockade is not rhetoric. It's everyday battle. When we, for example, we begin to make some negotiation with one foreign partner, in one or another, to buy something or to make an investment, say, America immediately put pressure to them. So this is one factor too we need to consider. Another factor is, after Soviet Union collapse, Cuba have a very strong economic and technician relationship with them. So this collapse affect us, like affect many other socialist countries. And our economy is down. Now it's a recovery very, very strong. So this economic situation is multifactorial question. It's not so easy.
So you're saying that the Cuban economy is recovering quite strongly now?
In the last 5 years, the economy, public, this recovery very strong. Tourism, medical assistance to more than 50 countries in the world. Nickel, now is the first foreign currency, more than $1 billion every year. So, of course, under Raúl, we will continue change all the things we can change for improve the life of the people and the strength of the country. Of course. Of course. Like in the past. Now situation is better. Why? Because economic situation is not so dramatic like in the 4 years after Soviet Union collapse. In this moment, Cuban economic situation is really very difficult. But now it's not so difficult, it's better. For example, tourism, two million people. Canadian, British, European people. Nickel, 1 billion.
How many New Zealanders and Australians?
New Zealand is 1,588.
Visitors last year?
Yeah.
In Australia?
Australia, 4,000.
So there's a lot of growth potential.
We begin to grow. The last year, visitor from New Zealand grow 23%. It's very important. We think that it's possible more, and welcome more New Zealand people, because Cuban authority believe like New Zealand tourist is very well educated, is family tourist, is very gentle people, is very nice people. So we are, our people is very, very happy with this kind of good tourist.
Okay. Now this is the first embassy that Cuba has ever had in Australasia. Prior to this, there was a embassy in Jakarta, and the ambassador used to be responsible for visiting.
Yeah, in the past, the last year.
I mean, Cuba has embassies in 120 nations, I think, or 100.
Cuba has a very strong diplomatic service, diplomatic work. Why link directly with Cuban political vision of the world? So at first we begin to promote our vision of the solution of the world, the problem of the world. So this is one, of course, this is one objective. Another one is to fight the reality that for near a half of century American permanent aggression to Cuba. And we need to protect our country.
So diplomacy is effectively your means of defense?
It's one of the aspects. We need to defend in all the country. And we are a long tradition of international work. For example, we have more than 50,000 doctors in more than 40 countries in the world, in Latin America.
50,000 doctors.
Doctor and technician. We have in America, in Latin America, in Caribbean, in Africa, in China, in Pakistan and Indonesia with the seismos, in Kiribati, and from the next month in Solomon Island. So this is a global. For example, in China we have 3 ophthalmologic centers already, and we will continue to build more. So big country, what we have a very good technician in this discipline.
Does Cuba earn foreign currency through the supply of medical services abroad?
Of course.
Who does it earn the money from? the foreign governments.
For this government.
From the Chinese government.
From, yeah, of course. Sometimes it's different. Sometimes it's intergovernment agreement. Sometimes it's a joint venture. It's different in a way.
Sometimes it's paid for by the United Nations.
I have many ways. The majority is intergovernmental work. For example, yesterday, the Solomon Island government informed that 25 students went to Cuba to study medicine in Cuba University. Mm-hmm. There we have more than 2,000 foreign students.
Foreign medical students.
From all the world, even from United States. Mm-hmm. Even from United States. Now we there have Kiribati students, now Solomon young people, and maybe we will continue this in another island in this area, and in other part of the world. It's totally open to this. Because hell, from the first moment, Fidel put many attention in the health of the people, education of the people. From the first moment, our free and so good system is Fidel's idea from the first moment. It's not in the last few years or any publicity campaign. No. This is a reality all the people know.
So in terms of the Solomons, doctors, there's how many doctors are going to the Solomons?
I cannot say exactly, but I know that the next month will come into there 10, and maybe in the next future another 10. I'm not sure the future because this is a two government decision, but I know this.
And who will pay for them?
Exactly, I don't know, but maybe it's a government. Solomon or another solution, financial solution. I don't know exactly who will pay, but anybody will pay. Eh? Mm-hmm. Cuban pay the salary.
Cuban pays the salary of the doctors.
Yeah, and the government pay the accommodation.
Yeah. So, although you've had this very strong diplomatic push all around the world, till now New Zealand and Australia have been excluded. Why is that?
In the past, we have a very long relationship with Australia. Consulate in Australia is very long time established. In New Zealand, we have a diplomatic relationship for many years.
Why not an embassy in Australia?
All the people in New Zealand ask the same. In the past, we are not happy with our government. Now it's totally different. It's totally different with Ruth. We like other people in the world, watch. He's begin to change many things, and we are very happy, of course, like New Zealand. Mm-hmm. If then make this decision, it's good for Australian people. So we are in very good relationship with New Zealand. In the past, and now it's better, and we will continue this work. So maybe in the future it's possible to improve relationship with Australia. But open here is not any special anti-Australian move. Mm. I know Kiwi people like this angle. Mm. I